Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. As European leaders meet today in Brussels to deal with the unravelling euro crisis, we'll begin with an analysis of this 11th-hour effort from Clyde Prestowitz. A former councillor to the Secretary of Commerce, he feels that since the euro has been a godsend to Germany, it's past time for the Germans to either step up and save the euro or leave the euro. Then we will discuss the P5 plus one meeting with Iran in Baghdad with Nada Hashimi, a professor of Middle East and Islamic politics at the University of Denver and the author of The People Reloaded, The Green Movement and the Future of Iran, with optimistic sounds coming out of the International Atomic Energy Agency about a possible breakthrough. We will look into why Iran has been prepared to endure crippling sanctions in order to hide a nuclear program they insist is only for peaceful purposes. Then finally, we'll examine what was behind the resignation of the head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, who was often the lone dissenting voice in favour of increasing oversight, particularly in the wake of the Fukushima disaster. Arjan Makajani, the president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research, joins us to discuss how much Gregory Zasko's push for safety reforms made him a target for removal. Joining us now is Clyde Prestowitz, a former councillor to the Secretary of Commerce and the founder and president of the Economic Strategy Institute. He's the author of the best-selling books Trading Places, Asia After the Miracle, Rogue Nation, 3 Billion New Capitalists, The Great Shift of Wealth and Power to the East, and his latest, The Betrayal of American Prosperity, Free Market Delusions, America's Decline, and How We Must Compete in the Post-Dollar Era. He has an article at Foreign Policy, Van Rompuy's Chance. Welcome to Background Briefing, Clyde Prestowitz.
Oh, nice to be with you.
And Van Rompuy, of course, Herman Van Rompuy, the president of the European Council, they're meeting today. There's a summit in Brussels to deal with the ongoing euro crisis, which has been at least 2 years. They still haven't managed to get their hands around it. What explains the inability of the Europeans to build a sufficient firewall to stop this bleeding?
I think the fundamental problem is that there's not a sufficient European identity. These guys are all dealing with this as Germans and French and Greeks and Italians, and they've lost sight of what got it started in the first place, which was the dream and the vision of a united Europe. I think that this guy Van Rompuy, this is his moment. This is his chance to lift everybody's eyes, and because the issue here is not really the euro or the firewall or whatever it is. The issue here really is there going to be a Europe or not?
Well, this has, of course, enormous stakes for Europe, but it also has stakes over here in the presidential race, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, the president, obviously, at Camp David, like everybody else, has been pleading with Angela Merkel. She seems to hold his fate in her hands.
Europe is the world's biggest market. It's the biggest market for U.S. exports. It's going back into recession just at the moment when Obama needs economic growth for the election. No, he's begging Merkel to look a little higher and stop nickel and diming.
So do you think that is the heart of the problem in Germany, in as much as Merkel, of course, is looking over her shoulder at the German electorate? She's already lost a regional election to the Social Democrats, and it's a tough call, but basically it seems that it's up to her to educate the German people who are feeling disdainful towards the people to the south. They think they're lazy and they don't pay taxes. The latter may be true, at least in the case of Greece. But the situation has somewhat become racialized, and nobody's talking about how the Germans have benefited from the euro and how it's been the German banks that have made these bad bets.
Precisely. All this stuff about all the Greeks don't pay taxes and the Spaniards are lazy, the Spanish budget, the Spanish government at the beginning of all this had less debt than the German government. What Spain got hit with was a real estate bubble funded by the German banks. And the Germans have been has not wanted to have to recapitalize their banks, and so they've imposed this eternal austerity on Spain and Southern Europe. And, you know, Merkel has been a masterful kind of parliamentary leader of, you know, putting together coalitions and kind of sensing which way the wind is blowing. But this is a moment that calls for a leader with a vision and a leader who can inspire and who can educate and who can change public opinion rather than just sensing public opinion. We haven't seen any of that kind of leader, and that's what we desperately need.
Again, I'm speaking with Clyde Pretzowitz, a former counselor to the Secretary of Commerce and the founder and president of the Economic Strategy Institute. His latest book is The Betrayal of American Prosperity, Free Market Delusions, America's Decline, and How We Must Compete in the Post-Dollar Era. Do you think the new French president, François Hollande, can somehow give Merkel some direction here? I mean, he's calling for euro bonds, and already the Germans have shot that down.
Yeah, I think Hollande is, I'm sympathetic with Hollande on this, but he's in a weak position. He's just newly elected. France is not as powerful as it used to be in the Franco-German partnership. He comes from the Socialist Party, which is, you know, seen as kind of leftist in Germany. I think he's in a weak position. What he has done has been to give some room. He's given some room for others like Mario Monti in Italy to voice alternative opinions. So he's gotten some discussion going. But the reason that I particularly identified Van Rompuy is because, you know, he's a guy without, you know, without a dog in the fight, really. This is not about what happens to Belgium. He is the guy who is the president of the European Council. So he's as close as you get to a real European leader. And this is a moment where I think a guy like that, who, you know, is respected and doesn't have a lot of enemies, can articulate a vision and try to move people and inspire people a bit to think bigger.
So what could he do to get them off the dime here? Because it seems to me that...
Well, I think two things. I think one thing is people, the Germans, have forgotten the cost of integrating Eastern Germany into Western Germany. And that was a cost that was high for the Germans, but it was also high for the rest of Europe. The rest of Europe paid to enable the unification of Germany. Germans have forgotten that. They should be reminded, because now is a moment for payback.
Well, isn't there a possibility, though, that this crisis could get worse fast? In other words, if there starts to be a run on the Greek euro and the Spanish euro, if people start to cash them in for German euros, for example, isn't that a real potential?
It is, absolutely. Now, my view is that the track that Europe is on right now is the track that is going to lead to the unwinding of the euro and possibly of the EU itself. It's a destructive track.
Well, then somebody over there has got to see the writing on the wall that you're talking about. It's obviously too late to create the equivalent of a Federal Reserve. I mean, if they had that, they probably would have been able to solve this problem long ago. Is it really all up to Merkel?
Well, I don't know that it's all up to Merkel, but it's really up to Germany. The Germans hold most of the cards here. you know, another alternative would be for, everybody's talking about the Greeks exiting the euro, another alternative would be for the Germans to exit the euro. In fact, that alternative, I think, makes more sense than the Greeks exiting the euro. Because the real problem here is that for the Germans, the euro is undervalued. And the rest of the European countries need a devaluation against Germany. So if the Germans stepped out and went back to the D-mark, then a new German D-mark would be a much stronger currency the rest of the Europe would have an automatic devaluation and become competitive and thereby get the stimulus that that they need for growth without the need for the Germans to make a direct transfer payment. So that's an alternative, but I think that's a very unlikely alternative. So you come back to, will the Germans wake up? Is there somebody in Germany who has a vision of Europe rather than a vision of Germany? Can they come up with a way of effectively creating some kind of a euro bond or a euro bank insurance system that commits all of the eurozone partners to guaranteeing the debt?
So, Clyde Prestwitz, again, former counsel to the Secretary of Commerce and the founder and president of the Economic Strategy Institute. So an economic solution would be for the Germans to pull out of the euro. But politically, that would be the death of the EU, right?
Well, I don't know that it would be. I mean, I can make an argument that, as I said, in terms of what Europe needs, a German revaluation, which could be achieved by the Germans dropping out of the euro and reinstalling the D-mark, that would, in fact, solve a lot of problems. I think that it's nobody has mentioned this idea except me. So I think it's not a likely idea.
Right.
And so I think it comes down to, is there... I keep thinking of Helmut Kohl. I keep thinking of the moment of German reunification. Helmut Kohl paid a huge price. You know, remember that the East German currency was integrated at par with the D-mark in reunification. Huge price they paid for reunification. But it was a vision. It wasn't an economic decision. It wasn't about dollars and cents. It was about rebuilding Germany. And they did it. Kohl did it. Had the support of Mitterrand and Bush and the other European leaders. And it's that kind of action, that kind of vision that's needed now.
Well, I understand that that the Social Democrats have been pushing for at least some wage increases in Germany.
Yes. Wage increases, yes.
So
that's positive, but it's small beer compared to what we're talking about.
Right. So again, it really, you can't just tinker with this situation, which is what they've been doing for
fast tinkering.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but unfortunately, it sounds from polling that I've read about German public opinion is that the German people are more ready than ever to say goodbye to the Greeks.
Well, they are, but this is where the question of leadership comes in. All I've heard from the German leaders, from Merkel, from Schäuble, from the other German leaders, all I've heard is this rat-a-tat repetition of the lazy Greeks, they don't pay their taxes, they retire too early, and so forth. I haven't heard anything from Europe, from German leaders talking about how it has been their ability to sell into these markets with an undervalued currency in the last 10 years that sparked their boom. I haven't heard any of them talking about how actually the Spanish government had less debt than the German government. I mean, this is a moment for leaders to step up to the plate and tell the truth and convince their own people.
And that hasn't happened yet. And as Merkel faces more election losses, the real question is she going to become more of a politician and less of a leader?
Well, yeah, that is the question. That is the question.
So,
being a politician, she's losing. And so maybe she ought to think of trying a different game and try to be a leader.
Well, I imagine Obama tried to make that case as politely as possible.
Yeah, maybe he was too polite.
Uh-huh. So what's your sense then of You've given the prescription here for what needs to be done, and clearly, Clyde Prestowich, you're a little sceptical about whether any of these proposals are going to be implemented, and
yeah.
And you're pretty much putting all your cards on this obscure Belgium official who's now meeting with them.
Right.
So give us a realistic, what's your real...
I think it's the 11th hour. I think that... very strong possibility that the Greeks leave the euro. We don't know what the Greek elections are gonna turn out, but if you were betting on this, I'd have to say the probability is that the Greeks leave the euro. That there then comes enormous pressure on the Spaniards and the Portuguese. I don't honestly see if they can't stop this thing with Greece, the cost of stopping it for Spain and Portugal is going to be a lot higher. So I think that gets to be very difficult. So, I think that pessimism is justified, but there's still a chance.
Right.
I'm always have been a strong Europhile, and I don't want to give up till the last whistle blows here.
So, in terms of Spain, though, Clyde Prestowich, my understanding is that the Spanish banks are all but insolvent.
I think that's probably true. But it's not just the Spanish banks. These banks are all interlinked. And it's not clear how solvent the German banks are. It's a domino. It's a row of dominoes here. One goes down, and then it just increases the pressure on all the others.
So there really isn't. You don't think there's any way that the can can be kicked down the road until, say, after the elections. You think that something's going to snap before then?
It's impossible to predict. Maybe they can kick the can down the road until the elections, but maybe not. I just don't know.
Well, that's 6 months away, and
you're
saying it's a crisis. It's the 11th hour.
I think it's 11th hour. Right?
Yeah, so for the 12th hour to last for 6 months, that's asking a lot.
Yeah.
Well, is there any note that we can leave on apart from despair?
hope springs eternal. And you never know what people will do when they're faced with, who was it, Dr. Johnson, who said a sentence of death powerfully concentrates a man's mind?
Well, one would think...
You're talking about a sentence of death right now.
Right. I just haven't heard anybody, apart from yourself, in Europe, who's laid it out as clearly as it is, and I just wonder... who's going to be the truth teller over there to get their attention so that they do what has to be done?
That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Van Rompuy, he's our man.
He's your man. We're back to Herman. All righty. Well,
I don't want to laugh at the guy. He is the president of the European Council. He's as close to Mr. Europe as they have. So this is a moment for him to step up.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Clyde Prestowich.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Clyde Prestowich, a former counselor to the Secretary of Commerce and the founder and president of the Economic Strategy Institute. He's the author of the best-selling books Trading Places, Asia After the Miracle, Rogue Nation, 3 Billion New Capitalists, The Great Shift of Wealth and Power to the East, and his latest, The Betrayal of American Prosperity, Free Market Delusions, America's Decline, and How We Must Compete in the Post-Dollar Era. He has an article at Foreign Policy, Van Rompuy's Chance. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about what looks like a breakthrough in the P5+1 talks with Iran.
Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, it makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound. A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound. Is all that makes the world go around. That clinking, clanking sound can make the world go round. Money, 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 money.